Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
We started this year, and when we started this year, the Lord gave us, I believe, kind of a fresh word to focus on, and that word was abide. Abide, and we spent the first 3 to 4 weeks focusing on what it means to abide in Christ. It means to remain close to God, to be with Him, and that He's with you, and that you have intimate fellowship with Him. And I feel that the Lord has put another very important word upon my heart for our church, and it's sort of an archaic word, but this word is crucial if you really want to be blessed by God. This word is crucial to our experiencing His blessing, especially in the midst of these very difficult times that we are living in. And that word is honor. Everyone say honor. Honor. Now, honor is, as I mentioned a moment ago, honor is a very archaic word. That means it's dated. That means it's out of style. Honor is a word that is not really part of our culture. People are not really motivated by honor the way they used to. There was a time when people would spend 30 or 40 years on the same job, partially because they were motivated by this concept of honor. There was a greater sense of respect for authority and for certain positions that people carry, and all of a sudden, it's just sort of evaporated from our culture. But the problem is that if honor, or when honor goes out of the church, there is great blessing that also goes with it. You see, we can't experience the full blessing of God without really taking hold of this word called honor. And today, as we look at 1 Kings, I want to talk to you, how shall I say this? I want to talk to you in a very broad sense of the word of honor, and yet in a very personal and individual sense at the same time. Okay? Broad and yet very individual. Now, before we look at 1 Kings chapter 17, okay, this is a very sad and dark period of time in the history of Israel. And what happened is that King David, we know, was a man after God's own heart. And King David transferred the kingdom over to his son Solomon. Now, Solomon started out in a tremendous way. Solomon responded to God in such a powerfully pleasing way that God says, I'm going to bless you more than any other king that's ever been blessed. And God gave him more wisdom than any man that ever walked on the earth. God blessed them with peace. God gave them gold and silver. And the kind of blessing that was upon the nation of Israel, because of the way Solomon responded to God, it was just unlike anything that's ever happened in history. The Bible says that silver was on the streets like dust, like pebbles. There was so much silver. And yet, at the end of his life, because Solomon failed to, everyone, honor God, everything was lost. All of the blessing was sapped out of the nation of Israel. And it's important for us to understand, brothers and sisters, that starting is good, but starting is not all. How many know it's not just how you start, it's really how you finish? And if you're going to finish strong, then honor has to become a deep part of your heart and your family. If we're going to finish strong as a church, how many know honor has to be a major part of what we do? We have to honor God. We're called to honor him. And so this message jumps in when the nation is in a very bad and ugly place, a very difficult place. It was so difficult, you'll see in a moment, that God actually brought a drought upon the land. And he sort of began to bring a judgment. And what he did is, whenever the people of God go astray, listen very closely, whenever the people of God go astray, he was always faithful to raise up a prophet. And a prophet would come and speak to kings. It didn't matter. He would speak to kings and he would speak to the nation and he would bring the word of the Lord and try to call people back to honoring God. And so God just raises up a prophet. His name was Elijah. And Elijah just kind of came out of the blue. People don't really know where he was from. And he just showed up. They don't know who his family was, but this guy was raised up by God, and he began to speak with great authority and conviction to the current king. After Solomon, here's what happened with Solomon. So Solomon started great, but the Lord told him in his word, do not marry foreign women. Because if you marry foreign women, they're going to take your heart astray and you're going to end up worshiping other gods. And he warned them, be sure not to do that. But he became so self-indulgent that he felt like he could disregard the word of the Lord. And he began to marry foreign women. And the man who started out by pleasing God in such a powerful and profound way ended up worshiping other gods and other idols. And the Lord told him, because of this, because of what you've done, I'm going to divide the kingdom. And the nation of Israel was torn into two. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, Israel and Judah. In the northern kingdom, there was never a good king in Israel. And in the southern kingdom, there were just a few. And it was part of the judgment of God upon the nation of Israel. And so now we're coming right into the moment when Elijah comes upon the scene. Now, I'm going to read you a story that relates very powerfully, I believe, to all of us individually, our families, our church, this time. But let me bring you, just listen to me. This is how it comes in. It says, now Elijah, the Tishbite, from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, Ahab was the current king, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. And so Ahab so provoked God that God said, I'm sending a drought. And you see, historically, brothers and sisters, drought, wickedness and drought always ran together. Listen to me. Wickedness, evil, sin, and drought runs together. Unfortunately, maybe in America, okay, it might have to get even more difficult, more desperate before America wakes up and realizes, okay, that God does not bless wickedness. Wickedness and drought run together. We believe that blessing comes from God. We believe that God is the one who can bring prosperity. God is the one who can bring peace. God is the one who can bring abundance. And here's one of the biblical examples of it. God said, you're so wicked that I'm sending a drought. And let me say this. This is not just national. This is also individual. If you're here today and your life is in a drought, you should perhaps stop for a moment and check and see if there's something in your life that is displeasing to God, because God may be trying to get your attention. Maybe someplace along the way you stopped honoring God. And when we stop honoring God, like Israel stopped honoring God, what happens? Drought comes. We dry up because in the same way we were talking about abide in me and let my word abide in you, right? So that you could be fruitful. How many know it says apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. If you're not close to God, if you're not connected to God, if we're not honoring God, then naturally that disconnection brings what? Drought. It brings drought. And you know, I don't want to take too long. I got a little bit of, I went a little bit on a tangent in the first service. But let me just say this. We're living in this time of the elections, and it's incredible to me to how people get in a lather about politicians and candidates. And we are called as the body of Christ to honor those and pray for those that are in authority. Okay? Republican or Democrat, you are called to pray for the President of the United States. You're called to pray for the governor. You're called to pray for the mayor, because regardless of what their position is, the Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he can turn it like a water course, whichever way he pleases. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. This is not probe any party. This is talking about the biblical kingdom of heaven. God is the king above all the kings of the earth, and we need to live like Christians that want to honor God and his word. And people get in such a lather about which candidate. And I was talking to someone who was watching the debate, talking about how nasty they are to each other. And his rudeness and dishonor is just disgusting what's happened in our country. And see, I started going there, right? And let me tell you what the Bible says, okay? Pray for those in authority. I'm not telling you not to vote. Exercise your right. The democratic process is beautiful and wonderful, but listen to me, the Bible is clear about this. Do not trust in princes. There's only one prince to put your trust in, and he is the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus Christ. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. It's very, very silly when Christians get in such a lather that they start fighting against other people and yelling and screaming and acting in an ungodly way instead of honoring Jesus. Okay? I don't know, whoever takes the presidency, we need to honor God because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? But nonetheless, as we approach this is same kind of climate, you know, scandal in the government, scandal in the city, scandal here, all sorts of things going on, you know, just wickedness abounding. And then there's this beautiful, amazing promise that God puts in for those that honor him that I want to share with you today. So here's what happens. He stops the rain, and the Bible says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook. I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. And so he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And he drank from the brook. And so one of the lessons as this unfolds is that even though there's a drought going on, how many know God is able to supernaturally provide for his people? The drought is taking place, but those that honor God, God is able to take care of them. God has supernatural power. He is the almighty, all-powerful God, and he watches and he sees. And how many know he can take care of us regardless of the drought? So this is what you see here, okay? And then now we move into the teaching on this passage. It says, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And then, okay, let's go right up to this. And it says, then the word of the Lord came to him. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Now, let me just point out to you, God is now sending the prophet into the middle, into the main place where there was idol worship, ungodliness, and also amazing drought. And he's saying, I'm sending you into the middle of this drought, and I'm going to provide for you. And he's going to do more than just provide for the prophet. He's also going to provide for one of his little ones. How many feel like you're one of his little ones? So watch. It says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. So this woman had reached the end of herself, because that's what droughts do. Droughts bring us to the end of ourselves. Okay, but watch this beautiful promise. Okay, let's keep going. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first, everyone say first. Okay, here's the honor piece. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. How many know God can make that jar of flour continue to give and to yield? He can make the oil continue to give and to yield. Hallelujah. That is the promise. That is the promise. Let's keep going. We're almost done. And it says, as she went and did as Elijah said, she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. That he spoke by Elijah. The title of the message this morning, the title of the message is Honor His Word to You. Honor His Word to you. We're going to take the next few moments to talk about honoring, but I want to say this up front, okay? God has a word for all of His children. And when we honor that word, God moves in power and He honors us. And it doesn't matter what situation or circumstance you find yourself in, okay, if you honor the word of the Lord to you, then God will turn around and honor you. You'll see in a moment, I'm going to read that God honors those who honor Him. And so I want to pray today that there would be an alignment. Okay, God, sometimes He has to bring an alignment to our hearts. That alignment, it changes our homes. It changes us first, and then it changes our home. It changes our choices. There's a shift. How many know sometimes God needs to make a shift in what's going on, in what our focus is, and what we're putting our energy into? There's a shift. God wants to make a shift towards Him being honored, because when He is honored, then, brothers and sisters, He stretches out His hand in great power, regardless of the drought, regardless of the circumstances. So let's pray. Father, bless this word now. God, take the next few moments, Lord, and would You speak to our hearts? Lord, You know what's going on in every individual situation. You know what's going on in each home, God, in each family. And God, I pray, Lord, that You would put a prophetic edge on this message today. Oh God, and that You would speak it directly into a heart, into households. God, that You are able, God, to bless, to transform, to turn things around, if we will just but honor Your word to us. Bless this word now, I pray, God, help my feeble lips, Lord. Help me, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. 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 So very quickly, let's take a few moments and look at what exactly honor means, because we got to get a clear sense of the definition of honor. You know, as I did research on this, there's just not a lot written out there about the concept of honor. You know, because this is the me, myself, and I generation. And yeah, that's true. And so let's look at this, okay? Honor is a recognition and focus on what esteems and pleases someone in an exalted position in our lives. Honor is a recognition and focus on what esteems and pleases someone in an exalted position in our lives. You see, the world has become very flat. Okay, the world has become very flat. I would say the world has become too flat. You know, the world has gotten to a place where no one gets honor, even though the Bible says give honor where honor is due. Like, we'll scream and shout and stand on our heads for football players, but on the people that we should really honor, there are people that should have a place of honor in our lives. You know, we're living in a day, I saw this the other day. There's a gentleman in our church, his name is Bob Toyama. I call him, for the most part, Brother Bob. He's older than I am. He's a man of great wisdom. You know, he has a great family. You know, he has two grown daughters, and they're so respectful. I mean, this is a godly man, and I have great esteem for him. And so, you know, for the most part, I call him Brother Bob, you know, because that's the way I was taught. And I was walking with him the other day, and I saw an 11-year-old say, "Hey, Bob, how are you?" You see? Because honor is just gone out of style. You see, when I was growing up, right, my dad used to say, "Look, in this house, don't forget this," my dad used to say. He said, "In this house, the teacher is always right. So you better work it out that you get along in that classroom, because if I get letters home about your behavior..." How many know? How many know? That's Cuban. Right? You see? But you say that now, people are like, "Oh, the children, my babies." You know? And poor teachers, like, we've had teachers here. Parents are attacking them. You know? Honor is gone out the window. Say, "You mean my son, he threw that chair and bit their finger off. He was having a bad day." That's the day we're living in. You see? That's it. All respect, all authority is just out the window. Now, every police officer is crooked. That's a big lie. Think about a police officer. Think about the fact, right? Every time you see a police car, let me give you a piece of advice. Pray for that car. Listen, every time you see someone in one of those fire engines going, or an ambulance, pray for them. You know, because here's the way it goes. I say this all the time, right? So the call comes over the radio, right? Regardless, yes, are there police officers who are dishonoring their position? Yes. But think about this. You know, there's a call that comes over the radio, and there's danger and someone wielding a gun, or there's a fire or something, and these people are charging into danger. And what are we doing? We're going, "Oh, snap, I'm getting out of there." And you know what? They're running right into it. How many know that deserves a little honor and respect? Can I get an amen? You see, the reason why there's so much corruption and everything is so twisted is because somewhere along the way, okay, we stopped honoring. And here's where it started. It all started when we stopped honoring God. Because if you don't honor God, you won't honor anything. If you don't honor God, you won't honor anyone. So what is honor? Very quickly, honor is making God, listen, Honor is making God first and highest in our lives. Amen. Honor is making God first and highest. Everyone say first and highest with me. First and highest. That is God's place in your life. And if he doesn't hold that place in your life, then it doesn't really matter. Because God doesn't compromise on this point because he's God. You see, he is first and highest. And when we treat him as such, when we give him that place as first and highest, and we really honor him, then he opens his hand and blessing flows. But when we disregard him, okay, then drought comes. That's the way this thing goes. Drought comes because people are not honoring God. It's so funny. And then let me just say this. Isn't it interesting, right, that the universities of our day tell people there's no God, right? And there's no right or wrong. Okay? There's no God. There's no right or wrong. You can live however you want to live. Okay? Whatever lifestyle you choose, whatever you want to do, this is the land of the free. Do whatever you want. Okay? So then these college students grow up and they become executives, and then they cheat and steal, and there's all kinds of moral corruption and scandal, and then we point our fingers at them and say, look at them, when we're the ones who taught them in the first place. Right? Am I right? You see, we have the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. So if we don't honor the Ten Commandments, my mother-in-law told me this. She remembers the day in America when they took the Ten Commandments off the wall in our schools. They took the Ten Commandments off the walls. They stopped praying. They stopped seeking God. And listen, this is not a campaign for prayer in school. The main thing that is important is prayer in the church. But I'm just, what I'm basically saying is she remembers that day. She remembers when they started to remove all of these things. Every sense of honor removed. Don't call the teacher Miss, just call him Jim. Or Bob. Or Shirley. It doesn't matter. It's all level. And when all of that, when that dishonor came in, and then drunkenness, drug addiction, corruption, think of everything that's happened just in our country. I mean, this is all throughout history. And someone once said this. Lord, I got to get preaching, but I'm on this right now. You know what someone said once? They said, the last thing to go before a nation falls is the morality of the women. And so now we're living in a day when women, teenagers, parents are giving, condoms, they're giving all of this stuff, they do whatever you want. And let me tell you something. When the women give up their sense of honor and their duty, the nation falls. Don't you realize what pornography is? Pornography is women giving up all of their dignity and integrity. But what it does is it makes men absolute weaklings and cowards. All because righteousness is no longer honored. And so honor, last facet of this definition, if the singers could come very quickly, I gotta wrap this up fastest end of the sermon in history now. But listen, honor is making decisions based on their impact on our relationship with God and the people around us. The Bible says, honor your mother and father. In a sense, a man honors his wife. A wife honors her husband. Pastor Matt and I were talking about this morning. Do you know the Bible says, we were just talking about this, the Bible says that a man, even though he's by nature, he's got more muscles, he's stronger, he's less emotional. The Bible says, don't ever forget that you are equals and co-heirs of the grace of God. So if you're not considerate with your wife, the way a husband inherits the blessing of God, the grace of God, it's together with his wife. The minute he dishonors his wife, guess what happens? brass. It says, your prayers will no longer be answered. You see, because honor is a big deal to God. So if a man doesn't honor his wife, or if a man doesn't honor his children, or if a woman doesn't honor her husband, if children, the Bible says, honor your mother and father, and this is a different sermon for a different day. Honor your mother and father so that it will go well with you. If we fail to make decisions based on their impact of on our relationship with God, our decisions, if they're honorable, they impact our relationship with God. If they're dishonorable, they also impact our relationship with God. Okay? And so here, now, all of that broadly speaking, why did I have to set all of that up? I'm just going to make these two points very quickly. Here you see a woman who's living in a time of incredible drought and difficulty. Okay? And there's incredible wickedness that is abounding. Ahab was the king, and the Bible says that Ahab did more to provoke God's anger than any other king before him. So we're talking about supreme wickedness. And yet the Lord draws near to her through the prophet, and the prophet speaks to her. When the prophet draws near, he makes this amazing promise to her. And here's the thing, ready? Honor contains a promise. Say that together with me, ready? Honor contains a promise. Okay, honor contains a promise. Okay, what is that? Listen, here's the promise. Okay, when we honor God, God's power will supersede our circumstances when we honor Him. Here's the promise. Regardless of where you find yourself, regardless of the drought, regardless of the difficulty, anyone that will take the time to just honor God, anyone that will honor His word, God speaks to this little lady. Look at what it says here. Okay, very quickly. Could you put it up? And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it. Put me first. Okay, and now the prophet, remember, it wasn't the man. This was a symbol of God. And the prophet was saying, put me first. Give me that cake first. And she had a choice. She's looking at her little flower, she's like, but my son. But then she said, wait a second. I know when God is here, and God is here. Amen. And I know, look, don't fear. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty. Hallelujah. In other words, listen to me. Less is better when God makes a promise to you, because God is faithful to keep His word. Hallelujah. If you honor Him with the little that you have, you will be blessed. Nothing can stop the blessing of God upon your life. How many of you, when we honor God, nothing can stop, because circumstances, He is the God who sits enthroned above the flood, above the drought, above every circumstance. He need only to speak the word, and He can make it. He can bring ravens to your house to drop off that meat. Hallelujah. But you got to honor Him. You got to put Him first. You got to say, no, I don't care. The world might think I'm crazy. But as for me and my house, we will honor the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, young people, when you go to make decisions, okay, check your career for a second. Forget about decisions, about being upwardly mobile and all of this mumbo jumbo. Obviously, God wants to bless you. God will raise you up. God is able. What a man sows, he reaps. Yes, obviously, He wants us to study. He wants us to excel. Don't you realize that when a Christian, just like Daniel or Joseph, you know what we pray for our children? We're believing that our children, we have a mandate from God to raise up the next Spirit-filled generation. We believe that they will become captains of industry, leaders in government, great voices for the glory of God. Where are the Daniels in the land? God, raise them up. Raise up the Joseph to speak to Pharaoh. That's what we believe. None of that happens unless we bow our hearts and honor God. But if we'll honor God, oh man, I'll never forget the first time I heard, little is much when God is in it. You just take what little you have, and if you give it to Him, hallelujah. Nothing can stop the power of God. It supersedes all the circumstances. But there's a drought. Everybody say so. So is a word you really need when the devil's whispering in your ear. When the devil whispers in your ear, you know what you say to him? You go, so. My God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. Blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen, honor His word to you, and He will honor you. So we're closing now. As we close this message, let me go back to what I first said. Okay? See, Jesus is more than a packet of principles. God still speaks to people. There is a personal promise to each and every one of us. There is a word. The Bible says, Psalm 25, 14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. He makes known His covenant to them. God has a secret for you and I. And any person that will take the time to get the word of the Lord for their life, listen, if you honor His word to you, He will honor you. Amen. Might take a little while. But let me tell you, every time we honor God, it draws His attention. Now, very quickly, how does all of this happen? Okay? How is it that this really takes place? Okay? Listen, honor is the process of trusting God for His chosen outcomes for our lives. So here's what it means. It means that as this week unfolds, should the Lord give us, if the Lord doesn't come back, should the Lord tarry? Right? Here's what it means. It means that every single person here, every single person in every seat, every row, listen, there's not too many people. God is zeroed in on you. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows where you've been. He knows where you're going. He knows what you need even before you know what you need. He knows it all, and God looks down at every person, up at every heart, and the way honor starts is that we all will have decisions this week. Family decisions, financial decisions, career decisions, private decisions, moral decisions, all sorts of decisions. So God looks down from heaven, okay, and the person that honors Him, they say, okay, myself, my selfish nature says, do this. But honoring God says, do that. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set myself aside. Sometimes in order to honor God, you have to forfeit something immediate or temporary. Some temporary pleasure or satisfaction, some false sense of protection. Sometimes in order to honor God, you have to step out on your own. You have to go it alone. You have to go God's way and no one, you have to go against the grain. Everybody's going this way, you know, but we're called to go this way. Hallelujah. And while you're going the way that God has called you to go, here's what you're doing. What you're saying is, God, I don't see the outcome. But God, today, I trust you for the outcome. Hallelujah! I trust you. No one who looks to him, the Bible says, will ever be put to shame. No one. If we'll just take the time to honor him. Listen, very quickly. Honor is recognizing what's pleasing in the eyes of God, and then honor rests in the power of choosing what's right in the eyes of God. So here are the steps. First, you have to recognize what is pleasing in the eyes of God. If you've got a big decision to make, start with what pleases God. Start there. Let your life be bracketed in by what pleases God. And then secondly, this is where the trusting is. Rest. Rest. I'm doing this God's way. You know? I'm doing this God's way. I'm going, look, we could sit here. I could pull up the whole staff. Okay, we could all tell you stories. Chrissy and I could sit here and tell you so many stories. Even when this church started, you know, yesterday I was studying in the office and everybody was gone and I was walking through the hallways. I went home and told Chrissy. And I remember coming to this city not knowing a soul in this city. And I remember coming to this city and getting at Pulaski and Irving, 4,000. I was trying to learn the streets, you know, 4,000 like that. And I used to have this big pit in my stomach saying, what in the world am I doing here? And I remember thinking, God, you sent me here, Lord. You sent me here, God. And over the years, so many situations. And when I looked around, I was in the offices and coffee makers in the office, nice computers, books, desks. I was like, Lord, where did all of this come from? It all comes from him. You ever walk around your house and look at the stuff and say, Lord, thank you. You ever get into your car and say, how did this happen, Lord? He's a good, good father. Come on, let's put our hands together. Hallelujah. I want to leave you with this verse and then we're going to pray. Okay? The Bible says that the eyes, let's read this together. Ready? For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. That's the promise. That's the promise. God sits upon his throne in 2016. Okay? In the here and the now. You see, somebody, right, will be crazy enough to believe this. Somebody here is going to take God at his word and say, I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to give my home to you. I'm going to give my family to you. I'm going to put my trust in you. You're my source. You're my blessing. You're my shield. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. And they're going to align their heart. Look, if you're here today, you say, I haven't been honoring God. That's okay. The Bible says, his mercies are new every morning. You know what? What counts is that you honor him now. That you give your heart to him. And you say, God, have your way with my life. Have your way with my heart. Would you take the hand of the person next to you? We're going to pray. We don't have a lot of time. But this is so important. Listen, his eyes are moving right across this room. His eyes are looking at every heart. Any heart, it doesn't matter what you did last night. You might, if you just say, God, forgive me. I repent of my blasphemy. I repent of my rebellion. God, give me grace, God. Give me grace to honor you, Lord. Teach me, show me the way to go, God. I want to begin to honor you with my life. Any heart that will honor God, Doesn't matter how young or how old, from that moment, his arm is ready to strengthen you and to bless you and to bring transformation to your life. So let's pray. God, help us today. God, we thank you for your amazing promise this afternoon, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your son Jesus to die, Lord. Oh God, so that, Lord, anytime we turn to you, you receive us. And God, I ask that you would receive our hearts right now, oh God. And God, I pray, Lord God, that you would give us the grace, the desire to honor you. Help us, Lord, to put you first, to make you first and highest, oh God. God, we pray that, oh Lord, from the moment we wake up, oh God, that you would be first and highest. We pray that around the table that you would be first and highest. That, Lord, in our homes that you would be first and highest, oh God. And that, God, in the midst of the drought, Lord, that we would be your people, blessed and provided for by the word of the Lord. God, I pray for the word of the Lord that you are speaking to every heart. God, you're telling people today, Lord, leave that. Do this, do that. Honor me in this way. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to honor your word to us. Because if we honor your word to us, God, you will honor us. So we thank you. And we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, come on, let's stand to our feet and clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. Say hallelujah to the Lord for a moment. Blessed be your name, oh God. Come on, let's honor him. Bless you, bless you, bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.